When it comes to the web, organisations are broken. At least that's what Jonathan Kahn says in his List Apart article, and I have to say I agree with him. After all, you don't have to look very far to see that there's a problem. Most websites lack focus, let alone any kind of consistent user experience or tone of voice. Social media rarely integrates well with the website, and most organisations' mobile strategy seems to consist of nothing more than throwing some apps at the iOS App Store. Email's a little better. In fact, I'm working with one charity client whose supporters may receive as many as 80 emails from them every month. This happens because there's no kind of central control over emailing. So what's the reason for all this chaos? Well, most organisations are just not compatible with the web. In many ways, the web works in a diametrically opposed way to the way most organisations do. After all, most organisations work in departmental silos while the web is cross-disciplined. Organisations are often internally focused while the web demands that we're user-centric. Organisations like projects with fixed budgets and specific endpoints. The web, on the other hand, is this ongoing investment. And the majority of organisations' approach to marketing is to broadcast their message. However, the web is much more of a dialogue with users. And finally, many organisations have thorough decision-making processes to avoid mistakes, while the web demands a quick, agile and iterative decision-making process. In short, most organisations predate the web and so aren't equipped to handle the changes that digital has introduced. Instead, they try to force the web into their current model, which often reduces it to little more than an online brochure. The web is never going to fulfil its potential in an organisation if it does that. If any of this is ringing bells with you, it might leave you believing that there is no hope for your organisation. Fortunately, that is not true. There is hope. You can't get much larger or much more bureaucratic than a government or higher education institution. However, both gov.uk and the University of Surrey are great examples of organisations that have succeeded in changing their approach to better utilise the power of the web. But how exactly is this achieved? Well, different organisations take different approaches. Some, like the examples above that I've just given, use outside experts to initiate change. Others achieve the same results at a grassroots level. As Jonathan points out in his List Apart post, this kind of grassroots change can start with anybody, no matter how lowly you are within the organisation. Unfortunately, a lot of the time senior management don't get or see that there is a problem. They don't know that the web can provide any more business benefits than it already does. It therefore falls to us to let them know that there is a better way. It falls to us to educate them. I won't claim that this is easy. However, some approaches that you might want to consider are things like running a workshop where you can introduce others in the organisation to examples of best practice and success stories. Building proof of concepts also work well as a way to demonstrate that there's a better way. Ask the questions that need asking. Ask questions about your web strategy, about decision-making processes, about resourcing. If the answers are not forthcoming, start answering the questions yourself. Write your own objectives, policies and procedures. Don't wait for others. In fact, sometimes we are better taking a leaf out of Grace Hopper's book, who famously once said, "It is often easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission." If we wait for permission, it will never come. Instead, we need to be the instigators of change. Ultimately, Jonathan Kahn sums it up when he wrote, "It's about pointing out risks, shining a light on organisational denial, overcoming resistance, and facilitating constructive discussion about change."